Praise the Lord. This is the lesson number 4 of the study of the book of Romans. We will deal with verses 8 to 15 of the first chapter. And I hope you are enjoying the study of the lessons. And I'm sure you will have many doubts if you really study, and you will be able to contact us with your question through emails, and I hope you will continue the study of the Word of God in prayer. And today, this particular portion deals with Paul's prayer and concern for the church at Rome. You can see throughout this letter, Paul assumes an intensely personal relationship with believers in Rome. As you know, Paul never met those group of people. None of them were probably saved or converted by Paul's ministry. As far as we know, none of them were baptized by Paul's ministry, but still he is praying for a group of people who is in a city, and he is praying for their spiritual growth. What kind of heart this man of God has. Think about our situation. We limit our prayers sometimes to our own personal need, sometimes to our family, maybe to certain friends, or to maximum our churches. But we don't have a burden to pray for even our neighboring cities. But Paul is not like that. Paul prays for people who is far away from him. See the burden of Paul for the people of God. If you look at chapter 1, verse 8, he addresses God as my God. So, his personal relationship with God is so strong. You can see in places like 2 Corinthians 12:21, Philippians 1:3 and 4:19, and also Philemon verse 4. Paul is addressing God as my God, or God as his personal God. He offers his thanksgiving through Jesus Christ. See, even though Paul is an elite minister, a great apostle, a great worker of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says he is offering his thanksgiving through Jesus Christ. See, that means neither Paul or anyone else can approach God the Father by himself. So that's why in Hebrew 13, verse 15, the author says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise the fruit of lips that confess his name. See, only through Jesus Christ we can approach God the Father. Or in Hebrew 10 verse 19 we read like this, therefore brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtains, that is his body. See, the most holy place, or the presence of the Father God, is opened to us through the body of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Paul is offering his thanksgiving due to the faith of Roman Christians. That is, their faith is being known or heard all over the world. All over the world simply means the place where they are living, or especially in Rome. Paul uses this type of language in 1 Thessalonians 1:8 also. So in 1:8, Paul uses this expression all over the world to define Roman Empire. Paul is excited about something. That is what he heard about the people of Rome. That is the believers of Rome. That they had a good reputation throughout the world of the day. In the capital city of Rome, where there is many, many things which is against the children of God going on, Paul is very excited about their faith, the people of God at Rome. Now Paul talks about gospel as the gospel of Jesus Christ or his son. The message of Paul, or Paul preaches, is not about something else or anything else other than the atoning work of Jesus Christ. See, Paul's reason for prayer is to be able to visit the Rome and the people there. His prayer is to visit the Roman church at the time when God will allow him to visit. Or in other words, his emphasis is on the will of God. See, certain things he wanted to do, but he waited upon the Lord for the right time. And his purpose in visiting this Roman people was that he might share with them spiritual gift. See, when we talk about spiritual gift, we usually think about the gift mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or in Romans 12:6. The gifts such as gift of healing, miracles, speaking with tongues, prophecy, teaching, and many other gifts. And also in 1 Corinthians 7:7, we can see the gift of singleness. The word spiritual gift may also be used in a wider and more general sense of the gift of God. If you read Romans 5 verse 15 and also 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, you can see some general gifts. See, there is no reason to believe that Paul has any intention of talking about any special gift here. See, there is no indication that he could have imparted such a gift even if he wished to, because he preaches about the impartation of those gifts being given by, or impartation of those gifts is by, the Holy Spirit when and how he chooses. And also, we cannot assume that the Roman Church was without any spiritual gift in the absence of Apostle Paul. Now, Paul says he wants himself and the Roman Church to be mutually encouraged by each other. Paul's purpose was to strengthen the Roman believers by ministering to them. This could very well be described as a spiritual gift. He also expressed the hope that he would very well be strengthened by them, as in verse 12 says, to be comforted in you by the faith that is in one another, both in you and in me. For Paul, ministering was not a one-way street. He and the congregation were one, and each ministered to the other. Each one comforted the other, and each one contributed to the faith of the other. Such is the biblical order of ministering. In verse 14 and 15, Paul talks about a debt. Paul says, both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the ignorant, I am a debtor. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you, the ones in Rome. He is not talking about a debt in relation to God, but of a debt to those whom he lists. His obligation is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. The Greeks considered non-Greek speakers to be babblers or barbarians. In this world, people make distinctions based on language, wealth, or education, and divide the society. Here we can see the distinction between Greek and the non-Greeks, and people call themselves wise and unwise, and the people of high esteem due to their distinction. But Paul is talking about something he is. Paul says the gospel is universal and need to be preached to everyone, irrespective of their color, nationality, irrespective of their condition, whether they are elite group of people in the society or the one who is at the lowest level. Gospel is the one which can free people from their condition, God from their fallen stage. Thank you, and next week the next lesson we will deal with verse 16 and 17, which is the thesis or the proposition for the book of Romans. Thank you, and may God bless you.